White have any, and I mean any, legitimate leverage in this situation? Lee, what's he going to do? Not play this season? I don't care if Devin White's pissed off. A lot of the fans have turned on White. They call him an ingrate. They do. He's not Superman.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports on this wild, wild Tuesday night with Devin White news and all kinds of other things going on tied to that. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, is right there, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He's got a $500 gift card ready for you if you custom order a vehicle. Very easy. They have concierge assistance, and there's no deposit, quick turnaround. And of course, on top of that, you get the Ira Kaufman discount. Bill Curry Ford, family owned. Not many family owned dealerships anymore, Ira. You know how they give you the personal family service there. And of course, BillCurryFord.com is the website. New vehicles get a nationwide lifetime warranty. Very cool. Bill Curry Ford. Check them out. They're our great friends. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. And of course, you can shop online. Phenomenal selection, certified pre-owned vehicles, huge selection. And that certified status means they're sort of extra special. They've had extra inspections, all kinds of extra warranties on them. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, we're jacked up. Draft party, big storm, Ybor, 7th Avenue, gorgeous views of 7th Avenue upstairs, Centro Ybor. Big, big place, plenty of room to spread out, but we're going to have a lot of great fun with great Bucks fans. The menu, of course, is at bigstormbrewery.com. Click on their Ybor location. The Bromosas will be flowing, their award-winning Tangerine IPA, but they've got so many other great beers, Ira, and I know that you're fired up to mingle with the fans. Is there anything the Sage loves more than a draft night, 7 o'clock, rolling in early and just mingling all night and talking football?
Steve, that was like the number one reason why I was so upset that I didn't go with you to Phoenix. That Monday night party. Steve, you've seen me in action before, working the room, and I'm going to work the room on draft night. I'm going to shake every hand. I want to meet everybody. We're going to have a lot of fun. The food is great at Big Storm. The beers, speak for themselves. It's going to be a heck of a night.
It sure will, Ira. Yeah, you missed out at the party. I didn't even tell you half of it. I told you a lot, but I didn't even tell you the half of it. Anyway, the Sage has taught me well with have a good opening line and doors will open for you. BigStormBrewery.com. That's the website to find all the tap rooms. Clearwater, 49th Street, Odessa, off State Road 54 on Success Drive there. That's where I was last hanging out with the Sage at a Big Storm. And of course, Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Sage at the draft party. $1,000 in prizes. Those are gift cards, right? Like Amex kind of gift cards from Florida's Elite Restoration. So we've got our Pick the Pick contest. And of course, to get in the Pick the Pick contest, you got to be there before 8 o'clock, right? You can't come in and pick the pick at 9:30. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Really excited. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. If you have storm damage, flood, fire, mold, you get there. You call them up 24/7. They come out to your property, give you an inspection, a free assessment, and you tell them you heard about them from Joe Bucks fan, from Ira Kaufman himself, and you get $500 if you move ahead with their services. Maybe that's for your deductible or just cash in your pocket. They're phenomenal. They've got the experience, so you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. It's huge. And of course, they get their work done right as well. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, we're going to clear the floor, and then we'll hear from Lee. Devin White, word comes out today from ESPN, and of course, the Sage was all over it, verifying it quickly, and bottom line, Devin White wants out. He wants out of Tampa. They're going to pay him $11.7 million this year on his fifth-year option, which was exercised last year. He doesn't want it. He obviously wants closer to market value for a top linebacker, which is $18 to $20 million or so, and he says he wants to be traded. Where are you with this?
This doesn't happen very often at one Buck place. You know, a disgruntled, prominent player. I didn't say great player. I said prominent player. You know, look at what's going on with Baltimore and Jackson and Green Bay with Rodgers and issues with salaries. It doesn't happen often right here in Tampa. Not often. And now it has hit home. Lee, I can't say I'm surprised because we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. You know, in the last year or so, Devin White, he's been a little funky off the field. Some of his crazy tweets, then he retracts it. I'm telling you right now, right off the bat, I don't think the Bucs are doing anything wrong in this Devin White situation. I'm not giving him Roquan Smith money. Not yet. Lee, not yet. I want to see more. It's not like the guy's going to make $2.5 million this year. He's making a bundle. He wants more. Understandable. Understandable. Lee, if he has a great year, which will help the Bucs have a very good season, he's going to cash in, Lee. I don't think the Bucs have done anything wrong. They want to see more. You and I want to see more. He's kind of been living off the championship run. You know, that was 2-3 years ago. That's old news. Buck fans don't care about that anymore. What they care about is taking bad angles and missing tackles. And if you're worth the money, you'll get it if you have a great season. And Lee, before I kick it over to you, I just want to say, I think the dynamics of this situation are incredible. Look at it like this. Lee, Jason Light, you picked this guy number 5. Now, he's not a bust, anything but. But the jury's out whether he's worth the 5th pick in the draft that year. And now, if you trade him, you're not going to get a top 5 pick in the first round. You're not. You might get a low first round pick. You're not getting a top 5 pick. Most teams want quarterbacks and edge rushers, and they're not taking Devin White for that. And then you got Todd Bowles, who's been a big defender of Devin White. Lee, I think this is Bowles' decision, what to do. And I think Bowles is going to have a talk with Devin White. Do you really want to leave, Devin? I'm on your side. But I think Devin White's making a mistake here, and I'm afraid what he's going to look like if the status quo holds up and he doesn't get the contract and the season starts and he's playing mediocre football.
Well, I know he wants Roquan Smith money. And the first thing I think of when I hear that is, did Dan Hampton ever go on social media and talk about how he loafs?
Yeah.
Lee, for those who don't get the analogy, Dan Hampton was a great Bears linebacker of the 1980s. And you're comparing him to Warren Sapp, who made those loafing comments about Devin White on social media this past season.
You ever read that? Dan Hampton talking about how Roquan Smith was a loafer? I never read that.
No.
So there's number one. Number two, if I was Light, the second that got out, and I don't know who dropped it in Jen's lap, whether it was White himself, whether that was his agent, whoever, the second that went on Twitter, I'm on the phone with Houston's GM. I am absolutely on the phone with Houston's GM. I'm getting a conference call with DeMarco Ryan. And we know how defensive coaches think. They don't value quarterbacks. They just don't. It's their DNA. Said, look, man, I'll give you the 19th pick and Devin White. I might even sweeten the pot with the second round pick next year. I want your second pick overall. And then I go out and get CJ Stroud. And then I go light up a cigar and chug a big strong beer.
I think you're absolutely dreaming because the Texans, who desperately need a quarterback, are going to get either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Why should they give up to the putting for White? Why?
You think they're putting out misinformation today with Schefter?
Are they saying they're not drafting a quarterback at number 2?
They said it's not a lock.
I think it's misinformation, Lee.
That tells me they're fishing. Like, okay, who's going to offer us what? I'm telling you, man. I know how defensive coaches talk. I bet you any money, Ryan's, if you give him truth serum, who do you want, C.J. Stroud or Devin White? He'd pick Devin White because probably in his mind, like, hey, man, I got to an NFC championship with Brock Purdy. I can find another Brock Purdy. I can't find Devin White.
They got a general manager. Maybe it's not Ryan's call.
Who is lousy? Then that's another reason why I say that. I have no respect for the guy. He might be stupid enough to do this.
Lee, I wouldn't blame Mike for trying to pursue it, but Steve, I don't think it's realistic to get the second pick in the draft for Devin White. I don't.
Not just Devin White. It'd be Devin White, a 19th pick, and I'd even sweeten it with a pick next year.
regarding the proposed trade, Devin White, he really just torpedoed his trade value by coming out and saying he wants out, because why would somebody give up a lot for Devin White when the Bucks are probably eager to get rid of him? They don't want to pay him the Roquan Smith money, or they would have done it already. And if that's what he wants, then, and he's thinking of leaving, you don't want to give a guy, you know, cornerstone of the franchise money if he's thinking of walking away from a coach who's beloved, who's the only coach he's ever had on defense, where he's successful. If he can't appreciate the situation he's in, then he's probably a problem. Roquan Smith, who we're comparing him to, he was traded for a second and fifth round pick. So, I mean, why, I don't know why somebody would give up big value for Devin White, but it's always worth a try. Like Lee said, you know, it's always worth a try, but I think the Bucks would have to give up a lot more than that. But Ira, I want to ask you a couple of questions here, and I'm just going to spit them out. Do you think the Jamel Dean contract pissed off Devin White? Jamel Dean, same draft class, no fifth year option on a third round pick, and he got 14 plus million for multiple years. And here's Devin White looking for a big contract. Does he look at that and say, you're paying my draft mate who can't hold my jock 14 plus million, and you won't pay me the big bucks, and you got the cap room, I'm already slotted for this year? You think that had anything to do with this?
It might have, but my first answer is I don't care. I don't care if Devin White's pissed off. I don't care, because, Lee, you know what that tells me? Todd Bowles, and Todd Bowles alone, valued Jamel Dean more than he does Devin White at this point. At this point. And Lee, I'll flip it over to you on this one before Steve asks me the second question, and I'll weigh in first. Does Devin White have any, and I mean any, legitimate leverage in this situation? Lee, what's he going to do? Not play this season?
I guess that's a possibility, which would, that would motivate me even more to get rid of him. But at the combine, Todd Bowles was abundantly clear. He is a huge Devin White fan. He's a fanboy almost. When he said, Steve, the way he reacted when he was asked about Devin White, he's a fanboy of White. So Bowles wants to keep him. He may sit out. But, you know, I don't know what to say about the Roquan Smith. He's clearly not Roquan Smith. He's clearly not Roquan Smith. I just get the idea. Now, someone put this out on Twitter, someone I respect, I just can't remember who it was, said that Devin White, the night he was drafted, maybe it was on NFL Network, I don't know, but the night he was drafted said he was going to be a $100 million player on his next contract. And I just think he had it in his mind, I'm going to get X amount no matter what. And the Bucks aren't offering that, and he's throwing a hissy fit.
I don't know what Todd Bowles really thinks about Devin White behind closed doors. And I'll tell you why, Steve. In public, Lee's right. Bowles has been effusive in his praise for Devin White and says he's been unfairly maligned by some fans, maybe even Warren Sapp. He didn't mention Sapp by name, but obviously Sapp called White out. Steve, if Bowles is a huge supporter of Devin White and the way he's playing, not just his potential, but the way he's playing, and Jason Light drafted the guy at number 5, then wouldn't they have already given him the extension? If Bowles is totally on board with it, and Light has no qualms about Devin White, and he's the guy that drafted him, and it looks good for Light to give a guy a second contract that you drafted, Steve, wouldn't they have already done it?
Well, it's a great question, Ira. It's a great question. However, I got to say no, because it's still early in the process. And, you know, everybody knows how they've been strapped against the salary cap. And everybody knows they are trying to win this year. And yes, obviously, you could give White a long-term deal and have saved some cap room for this year. I get that. But it's just a question of the numbers. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily a referendum on whether they don't want him, but it is worth exploring, Ira. Now, to detail for the fans, at the combine, Bowles was very specific when he said that Devin White is a top two player on the defense. I asked him who's number one, and he said it's a different guy every week, but White is always in the top two. Then he explained on your podcast why he said that Devin White makes plays that Bowles hasn't seen in 30 years in the NFL. He detailed that. And so, I mean, he may say something different behind closed doors, may think he needs to mature a little bit. And Bowles obviously knows the business side of the game as somebody who played and then was in a front office. But it is a good question, Ira. My question for you on this note, Ira, is lack of signing of Devin White, could it be a referendum on Bowles? Maybe Bowles said, of course we want Devin White. Let's lock him up. Let's lock him up. And the front office said, well, Todd, the Glazers, you know, they want to know that you're the coach for the next 5 years before we give Devin White a contract for the next 4 years.
Interesting question, you know, Steve. I mean, you know, how secure is Todd Bowles? Not very right now. Not very. Lee points it out. I think it's a tremendous point that Lee makes. If he goes 7-10, even 8-9, that would be 5 straight losing seasons for Todd Bowles. Lee, I started doing a little research just from what you said. And you're right, Tom Landry, first 5 years in Dallas. Lee, that's a freaking expansion team. That's an asterisk. That don't count.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
Count. Yeah, Lee, I started looking, you know, I started with Atlanta, you know, from the A's and went to Buffalo and this and that. I'm having trouble finding a coach that had 5 straight losing seasons. I don't know. I may not find it.
Who was the guy that coached Atlanta? They had some really awful teams. Free Lehman Bennett.
Marion Campbell?
No. Campbell. I just thought of him. Maybe him, but I have to look it up.
I don't think he did.
Okay. What about Gus Bradley? And I looked it up. He had 4 losing seasons.
He did. Lee. He was close. Steve, to your question, if Bowles is, genuine in his praise for Devin White, I keep coming back to Jason Light. Steve, wouldn't Light's inclination, all things being equal, give the man his money? Because, Steve, he drafted him. He's got to answer to the Glazers. And if the guy leaves after, you know, 5 years and he doesn't get a second contract, why'd you take him at number 5? Did you miss on him? I mean, I don't know. I keep coming back to Jason Light. I think he's right in the crosshairs on this.
It comes down to money, Ira. I mean, Jameis Winston was embraced by Bruce Arians. He's the guy. We love him. That's one of the reasons I took the job. He played that year on his 5th-year option. You know, guys all over the league play on their 5th-year option. Like we said in the beginning, it's a significant amount of money, and that's just the way the league works. So I don't know. I don't know where things went wrong, if they even went wrong.
Steve, I would say on the Winston example, I think the Glazers had a piece of that decision. Lee, maybe even a big piece of it, because obviously they look at the quarterback very closely, and Jameis was very, very up and down, and he was not really in a position to get that big extension. And even though, Lee, I've made the point a million times, if he doesn't screw off those last 2 games, I'm not sure that they're looking so hard for door number 2, and maybe the whole Brady thing doesn't happen. It's a story that we'll never know, Lee. We'll never know. But I think Winston was on his way to remaining a Buccaneer. I think he was. As far as Devin White's concerned, I think the Glazers have some questions about him. Again, Light's caught in the middle. He drafted him, but even he has to admit that he hasn't developed. Lee, in the last couple of years, he hasn't taken a step up. That's troubling. And then you got Bowles publicly talking about the guy like he's Ray Lewis. Lee, I mean, he can't stop talking about Devin White. I wonder if those same conversations are going on in private.
I think the White thing is nuanced. He had told me a long time ago that you have to work with your coaches. Otherwise, you have a Trent Baalke, Jim Harbaugh situation, and everything blows up. And I think it's fair to say Light was on thin ice when he brought Arians in. Like, if he doesn't bring Arians in, I'm not so sure he survives.
That's fair.
Yep. And also, maybe I'm really stretching here, but I'm pretty sure Bruce was able to pick his own players. Like, hey, I'll come out of retirement, I'll come in, but I get the last say on players. I do this. Well, I'm getting it in a long-winded way. Maybe Light would not have drafted Devin White 5th overall because of how the NFL values off-the-ball linebackers, But that's who Arians wanted, and that's who Bowles wanted, and maybe they pitched to Light. We need this guy because he's going to be the linchpin out of our defense. And Light said, okay, he checks the boxes for me. I don't know if I would draft him that high, but if you know if that's what you want, we'll do it.
I think there's a lot of truth in what you said. Steve, I'm trying to drill down on the psyche of Devin White. You know, he's quirky. Steve, he's quirky. He might be a little thin-skinned. I don't think he handled the criticism great last year. I thought a lot of the criticism was deserved, not undeserved. When you loaf, you loaf. And Sapp knows a loafer when he sees him because he was raised with Monty Kiffin. And that's what the Bucks did on Monday morning. They looked for loafers. And Kiffin would stop the tape and he would embarrass the guy in front of his peers. That's how you get better. Peer pressure. Sapp knows what a loafer looks like. And he called out White. Now, Steve, it's only a couple of snaps or whatever. It's not three games worth. But I don't know. The Buck run defense hasn't been very good the last couple of years. I think White's a part of it. I see some big holes. He's not there. Where is he? I still can't figure out why Bowles isn't using him more as a blitzer. Just can't figure that one out.
When you loaf, you loaf. Is that some kind of 60s jingle? I got that going through my head. When you loaf, you loaf. When you're not, you're not. I got some kind of 60s song stuck in my head.
I thought you yell at me when I bring up 60s with Creedence Clearwater Revival. Say, come on, Ira. Steve, I might have misspoke. Like I said, why isn't Bowles using White as much as a blitzer? Steve, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is using him as much as a blitzer, but he's just not effective anymore. Which one is right, Steve?
Well, Sage, it's old news at this point. And Bowles has said that, yeah, we used him differently when we had injuries in the secondary. That goes back to 2021. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference right now. So I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to pass on that, Ira. The issues with White, I think everybody just sees he's never been great in coverage. And he's not always the most sure tackler. He makes a lot of great plays that other guys in the league just can't make and plays a lot of fans take for granted. But how he got there, I think, is what you said. How did Devin White get here? That's what we don't know. But I got to ask you this question, Ira. We've heard over and over from the top of the organization on down about the Tom Brady effect and how it would make this team better going forward and how he made everyone better around him and it would last for years with what he left on this organization. Does Devin White want out of this team in this manner, in a non-team first manner, if Tom Brady is still a quarterback?
He does not. He does not. This doesn't happen with Brady on the Buck roster. I'm convinced of that. The Brady effect was real, Lee. That was not anything that was manufactured. It was real. And it affected player 2 down to player 53, Lee. That's a fact. Everybody held Brady in such high regard, and it gave everybody confidence that we're a contending team with Brady. It didn't work out in 2022. We know that. But certainly they started the season with that feeling. And they don't have that feeling right now. With all due respect to Baker Mayfield, he doesn't generate that kind of allegiance. And I'm convinced, Lee, that if Brady was on this team right now, Devin White finds a way to tell his agent to keep his mouth shut.
Well, I got a point about that, the Brady effect, a point to make. Speaking of Devin White, do you remember his second year, Brady's first year of the Bucks, and he apparently went bananas that he wasn't nominated to the Pro Bowl? And
yeah.
Brady, shut the hell up. We're trying to get to a bowl game. It's called the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So that's a little window into Devin White right there. I used to swallow the narrative that this Brady effect will last for years. I'm not sure it lasted to the end of his days with the Bucks. Remember the San Francisco game? How he was screaming at the offensive line to get their heads out of their rear ends and play harder. He went bananas in that game against his teammates. I'm thinking they were starting to tune him out.
You're not wrong, Lee. I think by the middle of last season, that Brady aura, that the word that Todd Bowles used, it had dissipated, no question about it. he wasn't playing particularly well. The offense stunk. And he lost a lot of his legitimacy at that point. Steve, this guy Devin White, I don't know. I don't want to paint it too broadly, but to me, he looks like a guy that's relying too much on his skills, his physical skills, which are, you know, enormous. Rare speed for a linebacker. Rare. Almost unmatched in the league. But, Steve, I don't know that he's studying enough, working hard enough. If he was, I think we'd see it on the field. And I'm telling you, since he chased Mahomes all over Raymond James Stadium, I haven't seen the same guy.
No, he hasn't. Outside of a few plays, and I'm not saying he's always dogging it. I'm not saying he's always playing lousy. And this is leading me up to a question I wanted to ask earlier, Ira. But you're absolutely right, Ira. The way he played in the 2020 playoffs in the Super Bowl, if that was the same player the last couple of years as what we saw in the playoffs, I don't think White would blink an eye about paying him. I don't think he'd blink an eye. But that's not the same player. And it's not like it's only been maybe two games or three games or four games where he didn't play up to that level. It's been damn near 2 years. Could it be that however Bowles uses him now is different than what it was in the playoffs, and as a result, he's not being used to his skill set?
It could be, Lee, but I can't go there because I think Bowles is too good a defensive coordinator not to try to put his players in what he thinks are the best positions to succeed. And he knows what White is, what his strengths are and what he needs to work on. And I know he talks to White all the time. So does Lavonte David. Lee, that's another guy we haven't even talked about. What's Lavonte David thinking about this? I mean, on the field, off the field, locker room, training camp. You know, he's a mentor for Devin White. And Lavonte David, Steve, he takes maybe less money, likely less money than he could get on the free agent market to come back with this organization. And then he sees this stunt by White's agent, it's got to turn his stomach.
Sage, Bobby Wagner got the same money as Lavonte David back in Seattle. I think David probably got what the market had for him. He may be worth a little more as the Bucs' returning leading tackler and all the stuff that he brings, but you know, I think that was about right. Lavonte David has seen so much through his years and guys coming and going and all that. I don't think this really phases him at all. It, you know, if they end up losing White, I think his first question will be, who are we bringing in? We got money now. Who are we bringing in here? Are we going to get Yannick Ngakoue? Who's coming in here, you know? Who's going to jack up his defense? I think one thing that may be out there for Devin White is, you know, Vita Vea, January of last year, got his contract extension. And he was the 2018 first-round pick. So here we are. It's April. And Vita broke the bank. And Devin White doesn't have it. These guys compare. And who knows what the agents are and what they've been talking about. So something's going on. I've got to ask you this, Ira. Do you think it's possible that in some way this is a referendum on Bowles, that the Glazers may be looking at this saying, no, wait a minute, this guy helped make Devin White, you know, put him in great positions. He was the centerpiece in a lot of ways with a good defensive line of a historic run defense in 2019 and 2020. Won a Super Bowl. He's had a good career. Got his first Pro Bowl the year after. I mean, and now he doesn't want to play for Todd Bowles. And, you know, all these guys around him that White was a leadership figure to, that, you know, Bowles even talked to us at the Combine saying that you asked him some sort of leadership question. And he talked about how White has become so smart in the game that he's really in that same place that Lavonte David is as far as on-field leadership and all that. I mean, do you think the Glazers are looking at this funny, saying, why does Bowles' best defensive player, per his mouth, not want to play for him anymore?
I understand your point, Steve. I understand where you're going, but...
Well, no, it's not a point. It's a question, Ira. It's a question. Do you think that they
understand? Lee, let's not overcomplicate this, Lee. You've said it many times. I'll say it right now. It's the money. Lee, it's nothing more than that. It's the money, Lee. You know I'm right. You know I'm right.
The money.
Ain't got nothing to do with Todd Bowles. Ain't got nothing to do with not wanting to play next to Levante David. It's got nothing to do with frustrated about Joe Tryon Shayenka when he's going to, raise his game. It's one thing and one thing only, Lee, and that's what it is. This is professional sports, and him and his agent talk, and like Steve says, they compare. They compare. And the Bucks did this and gave this guy this amount of money, and look what this guy got from another team, and I'm as good as that guy. And, Lee, it's all about the money. If he signs an extension tomorrow, he's going to be on a podium the next day, smiling, and I'm so happy to be a Buccaneer. That's just the way it's going to be.
Well, the Levante David angle, I don't think is unrelated. And what I mean by that is, let's look at the timeline. The 4th of March, Devin White puts out some really cryptic notes that looks like he's done with the Bucks. I wrote about it. Greg Allman wrote about it. Devin White Twitter's Greg Allman. No, that's not true. I'm coming back, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Roughly 2 to 3 weeks later, Levante David's resigned. 2 weeks after that, I want to get traded. I don't think it's unrelated. I think the Bucks knew contract talks were going nowhere. And they're like, oh my gosh, if we have any prayer of winning this division, we have to have Levante, just in case Devin White tells us to F off and sits home for a year. We have to have Levante.
Guys, you know what this reminds me of a little bit? Now, I'm not comparing Devin White to a guy who arguably is the best player in Buccaneer history, and that's Derek Brooks. Again, I wasn't here to watch Leroy Selman play every week.
I know what this is like, Ira. I'll answer your question. It's like when the Tampa Tribune, when you were having that contract impasse back in 2003 after the Super Bowl season, when you were dominant TV, media, all multimedia, one of the first multimedia guys, and then you wanted more money, and they tried to trade you to the Times for Rick Stroud and $400,000, and they wouldn't do it, and you wouldn't do it.
I told them to kick in a Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. They wouldn't do it, Steve. But Steve, to finish what I was saying, and a lot of people forget this. A lot of people. But, I covered the hockey team for a couple of years, and then 2001, Roy says, hey, you got to get Ira back with me on football. So I came back to football in 2001, which turned out to be, in Lee's words, Father Dungy's final season. And training camp was still at the University of Tampa. The next year when Gruden came in, they moved it to Orlando. So here we are in University of Tampa. And I'll never forget my introduction to coming back on the Buckbeat after a couple of year absence was, we're on the chow line and Warren Sapp's across from me. And I said, good afternoon, Mr. Sapp. And he stared at me and I thought he was going to throw the spoon at me. All I said was good morning. So anyway, that afternoon, Dungy's answering questions. They brought out a few players, Sapp, Lynch, whatever. And now Dungy takes the seat at the table. And Mike Cobb, Lee, you remember him from the Lakeland Ledger, Mike Cobb. Yeah. And so he asked the question that you got to ask, Steve, on day one of training camp. Everybody here, coach? Everybody here? And I'll never forget. Dungy said, well, so-and-so's not here, but he's got an excuse. He'll be here tomorrow. And Derek Brooks isn't here. And Cobb said, is Brooks excused? And Dungy said, no. Like a bat out of hell, Cummings ran out from the room outside and called Derek Brooks within 15 seconds. and he got him on the phone. And Roy goes, what's up, Derek? And Brooks says, they won't pay me. I'm waiting for a new contract. Where's my new contract? It's the only leverage I got. That's what Derek Brooks did. Now, he held out for about 5 days, and they got it done because it was Derek Brooks. That's what Devin White could do on July 30th. He could not show up, possibly.
Sure. There's a little bit of a difference.
Well, he ain't Derek Brooks. That's number one.
Number one, there was no question Brooks was an elite player. No one would dispute that. Number two, Brooks didn't say trade me, did he?
He did not. But the similarity, Steve, was that Brooks looked around and the Bucks kept saying, we'll take care of you. We'll take care of you with a new contract. And his frustration kept building. And he looked around at other guys that were being signed by the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much other linebackers around the league. It was what the Bucks were doing. McKay signing this guy extension. McKay signing this guy. And Brooks was, Stewart, what about me? What about me? And that's when he didn't show up to training camp. But like Lee said, Steve, he did not ask to be traded.
We shall see what happens here, but I got to put your feet to the fire, Sage, with really the most important question, which we have built up to here. But first, I want to remind everybody, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer, our draft party, April 27th, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We kick off, draft starts at 8. We'll be there till the last pick. Ybor City, Centro Ybor, upstairs, lots of parking around. And check out BigStormBrewery.com. Click on Ybor, and you'll see all about their new location there. Follow them on social media. And, of course, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's where you start shopping for a vehicle, period. Truck, Ford Escape, like Ira's got, Cherry Red 2020. It's got a little ding on it now, Ira, but we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that. And, of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check out the site, bookmark it, so when you have that emergency, you are ready. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, how does this end? How does this end? Are they going to trade him and, maybe get a second round pick and say, hey, that's it? And obviously the Bucks are in a somewhat dangerous situation. If you threaten to be traded and then you get the big Bucks, Bucks have a lot of good young players on the roster who might be thinking, maybe this is how I get my money. So that's always out there. But how does this end, Ira?
Well, I knew that question was coming, Steve, but that's why I get the big money, Steve. That's why I get the big money to answer these kind of questions. Devin White's going to play for the Bucks under this contract in 2023, whether he likes it or not. I don't think he's got a lot of options. I don't think they're in a hurry to trade a 25-year-old guy to help them win a Super Bowl, Lee. He's got a ceiling. He's not there, but he's got it. Lee, we know how good he can be. He showed us. Jason Light don't want to give up a guy that he picked with the number 5 pick and not recoup a pick in the top 10. He doesn't want to do that. The guy's 25, Lee. He's not 31. He's supposed to be the face of this defense. If he's not now, he's supposed to be after Levante leaves. They're going to have to work it out somehow, and I don't mean pay him, Lee. I don't mean give him the $80 million or $100 million. They're going to have some direct talks with him and his agent, like, have a good year and we'll take care of you. I mean, that's all they can say, Lee, and I don't see what White could do about it. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't think they can afford to. Lee, I really don't, unless they're going to get some kind of crazy offer that Jason Light can't refuse. I think he plays. Maybe he doesn't show up for training camp, but I think he plays.
You know what? I don't know if he's the third best player on the team.
Well, I know Worf's is the best player on this team. That's what
Worf's and Evans are the best. Antoine Winfield and Godwin are probably the next two.
Yep.
Maybe Vita.
I don't know that White's better than Levante David right now. I don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, so I can't say they're always going to get his money. Oh, they're not going to trade him. We're not talking about Lawrence Taylor here.
Got to run this number past you, Ira. It's an important number because you know that the Glazers are seeing it. And, Jason Light sees it as well. And maybe, just maybe, we fans have an impact on some level. I threw a poll up at a little after 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. It's about 2 hours later. And we got 720 votes in, Ira. The question is, do you want Devin White to take another snap for the Buccaneers? More than half the fans said no. Does that matter?
I'm not surprised, Steve. I'm so glad you put that up because I was thinking about that. I was thinking, like, if Isbitz puts this poll up, because I've been reading some of the comments, Lee, which is, some people say, are you crazy? Don't read the comments. Well, it gives you a little bit of a pulse. And, Lee, a lot of the fans have turned on White. They call him an ingrate. They do.
That's harsh.
that's harsh, but you know, you make, take your $11 million, you know, and who are you to balk? You haven't shown us enough. Steve, I'm glad you put that poll up. I think it shows the extent that White has not fulfilled his potential as a Buccaneer. If this guy was better than he's played the last 2 years, I think those numbers would be reversed. He hasn't played up to being worthy of an extension. And I don't think the Bucs have done anything wrong in this situation.
I agree.
Hey, Ira, do you think he has a problem in the locker room? Well, then how do you fix that, right? I mean, this defense won a Super Bowl together. A lot of the guys have played for years together. And there's a chemistry there. They've had the same coordinator now entering their fifth year. And now they've got a problem. And do you think that they really want that? I mean, how do you think the locker room's going to view that?
I think Levante and Bowles together will handle this thing. They don't have a lot of veteran leaders. I mean, they don't. Vita Vea, I don't think he's the natural leader. Carlton Davis, and Winfield's young. I think Levante David is the guy that has to address the locker room, has to talk to White, and get his head on straight. He can't be playing with his mind distracted, Devin White, when the season starts. That's no good for anybody. It's no good for the Bucs, and it certainly ain't any good for Devin White.
To me, distractions are on the same level as leadership. It's just mystical nonsense. I mean, I learned that in high school. My gosh, these guys are in the NFL. You asked if there's a locker room issue at all with White. What was the circumstance? I think it was this past year. Maybe it was the year prior, but I'm thinking it was this past year. Had something to do with Jameis Winston. I want to say Jamel Dean was doing a selfie video. It got on Twitter. And in the background, you could hear Chris Godwin, or I think Devin White was, I think he was bad-mouthing Jameis. It might have been right after the New Orleans game, at New Orleans when they beat New Orleans. And Devin White was mouthing off about Jameis on the team plane. And you could hear Chris Godwin saying, hey, calm down, he's a good friend of mine, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I don't give a damn about him. And White got all haughty with, you guys remember that at all?
A little bit. But I'll say this, guys. I'll say this. When the Bucs drafted Devin White, Jason Light made a big, big deal in introducing Devin White and explaining why they took him with the fifth pick. Steve, am I right? His leadership was off the charts. Off the charts at LSU. We expect him to be the face of this defense eventually. Leadership was a big factor, Jason Light said, in drafting Devin White. I wonder if he regrets some of those comments.
You know, Devin White does all that stomping and woofing at midfield before every game. Well, right, they're out in San Francisco, and he goes and he stomps and he woofs and he carries on at midfield right on the logo of the 49ers. What happened? 49ers go out there and hand that defense their ass. So let's tap the brakes. Not just tap the brakes. Let's lock up the brakes on this leadership nonsense.
Well, Lee, remember Jameis's pregame ritual? Lee, remember? Same thing.
Sage, I'm going to say I think the distraction issue is a huge deal for White because he's proven to be very sensitive. So we're just looking at the player as it is. And, you know, this is 2023. If I'm the Bucs, if I'm going to have Devin White back and say what you said, Ira, which is, hey, just we're paying you well this year. This is how it is. We're going to take care of you. It's going to be after the season, and we'll pay you market value after the season. If they're able to work it out, Ira, I would tell him he's got to be off social media for the season because Devin White has proven that he's susceptible to distractions. He's freaked out by the media, I'm sure, tonight and for the next or 100 days until something happens or 2 weeks, who knows, he's going to be hammered and beaten up by the fans on social media. Get the F out of here. You suck. Go loaf again. Warren Sapp's going to be, you know, have a lot to say about this. And I think distractions with White are a massive situation that I don't think they could just blow it off and pretend that, you know, that this didn't happen and we're all good.
That's an interesting wrinkle. You know, Lee, I can't help but think of the incredible disparity in professionalism between White and Levante David. And, yep, you know, I don't mean right now. I mean since the day that Levante David was a Buccaneer and the day that White was a Buccaneer. I mean, it's like night and day. The one guy is mature, total professional, dedicated to his craft, wants to get better. It's all about the team. And I just, I've never felt that much that way about Devin White, Lee. Now, maybe that's because Lavonnie David is one in a million, maybe, which he is. But, boy, Devin White could learn a lot about how to be a pro from Lavonnie David.
All right, Sage. Well, look, we were all Devin White on this podcast, which is fun. If you missed the last podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean, you can find it. And Jason Light will be talking to the public, or excuse me, to the media. It would be much more fun if he was talking to the public. But he'll be talking to the media on Thursday, and we will be back right after that talking about what he has to say and what he doesn't have to say. And I don't know, Ira, I'm ready to say goodbye to Devin White. I'm with the core of the fans on this one. He's interjected here an ugly situation where it didn't have to be. And I don't appreciate that he doesn't appreciate how good he's had it here. And you know what? In these times of tight cap room and where the Bucks are, I bet there's a few people at One Buck already sitting around thinking, what could we do with those $12 million? We got that left tackle from the Broncos that Sean Payton doesn't want, who can run block and who's pretty good. And we probably get him for $4 million, and we could probably get this guy. And maybe get a pass rusher in here on a one-year contract with a bunch of incentives. I don't know. It's sticky, Ira.
I sent this to Sean Sullivan as a text earlier today about White, and he immediately called me up, and he absolutely agrees with me. And this is what I sent to him. And then we're ready for your parting words, your closing statement. The Bucks need a quarterback. The Bucks need a pass rusher. They don't need a off-ball linebacker to win a Super Bowl.
Lee, there's so many ways to look at this, Lee. You know, I could counter that by saying this, Lee. Lavonnie David's not going to be here a year or two from now. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's not Superman. And when he goes and you don't have Devin White, you've got a yawning need at linebacker. You do. White speed is not easily replaceable. It's not. But Lee, Steve makes an interesting point. The Glazers, you know, they've been known to read Joe Bucks fan. And, you know, we're kind of their conduit to Buck Nation. And, you know, they're sensitive to those things. It, you know, we saw what happened at the end of the Gruden era. The fans were turning on Gruden. That could have been a factor. Certainly, they were not in love with Dirk Cutter by the end of 2018. I think the Glazers were ready to move on anyway, Lee, in that regard. But seeing this reaction to Devin White, they're never going to recoup that number five pick. Maybe I should forget about that. That's old history. It's not going to happen. You won a Super Bowl with the guy, you know, take it easy. But the Glazers, they might turn on Devin White just like Buck Nation has. They might.